let's see where we left off last time. So that we don't become lost or confused. This is a series of talks on ephemeral, horary, and electional astrology. Ephemeral astrology is the study of the moment, what's happening right now. The moment is expandable from a minuscule fraction of a second to many millions of years if the cycle is involved. And what we did when we looked at ephemeral astrology is that we briefly examined moments delineated time. We spoke of a cycle as a moment. We spoke of spiral time. We looked at several varieties of cycles and several simple samples of each. And we tried to get a feeling of the time by adding together all of the cycles that were active simultaneously and that produced an atmosphere. It's very incomplete because human knowledge about the contributors to the astrological atmosphere is limited. And so we can only know so much. Our objective is in all of this to understand the conditions under which events come about. Because if we can understand the conditions that produce an event, then we can understand the event much better. And if that event happens to be a question, like a horary question, then we understand it in the whole chart of things. After that, we have now moved to horary and event astrology, which is the judgment of horary questions of the hour, and of events when they occur. The first thing that we did is we studied all different kinds of questions and events. We tried to understand which kinds of questions were answerable and the significance of various kinds of events. Then we considered the conditions that denied or inhibited answers to questions or the interpretation of events. There are some things that make it very difficult to understand what's going on. And we are now in a subsection of horary astrology where we are finding things, finding people, and in the horoscope. This process is called location. Last time we talked about locating people. We talked about three things that bring events about historically are time, place, and people. And we're doing them in reverse order. We looked at people last time, and we looked at the three most important people in the horary question matter. One is the agent, that is the person to whom the question is asked. That person is usually ruled by the seventh house. The second important person is the querent, that is the person asking the question, and that person is usually indicated by the first house. And then there is the questioner, the person upon whom the question is asked, if such a person exists. Such like if it's about, the question is asked about a friend, it is in the 11th house. And then finally, we looked at significant outsiders, people who are not intended in the asking of the question, but yet can have a significant effect on the answering of the question. When we located these people, these four categories of people, we then talked about distribution. Distribution, or the distributed horoscope, is a horoscope that is scaled off from the original question horoscope, which is called the crisis horoscope, according to the person about whom according to the person in question. The distributed horoscope is the same horoscope as the crisis horoscope, only the houses are seen differently because you're seeing it from a different point of view. For example, if somebody asks a question about the child, the point of view of the person asking the question, the first house is their point of view, and all the houses follow their normal order. The child is the fifth house. So the fifth house becomes the new ascendant, and the fifth house is the first house, the sixth house is the second house, and such like that, and so that you have a distributed chart. And when you have a distributed chart, the idea is that you can see things from the point of view of the person who the question is about. We tried to show various ways of distributing horoscopes, and because there are several ways of doing that, and then we tried to make a point of the fact that you should distribute as many, locate and distribute as many ways as possible. Observation or questioning the person asking the question to find which one most accurately describes what's going on. Literary astrology, even though there are some very fixed laws, you have to be as flexible as possible. After location, we went into factors that describe people, natural factors. Describe people as one would see them, if one were observing them, and psychological descriptions, what their state of mind is or what their psychic attitude is. We tried to be clear about these descriptions of people and how they reflect on the question that is involved in the chart. Now, in this talk, right now, we're going to talk about locating in place and in time, that is, in spiritual season or in event. Now that we have laid the groundwork of the difficult part of locating people, this is going to be much, much easier. Both space and time, in both of them, there are various methods that can be applied. Again, we're going to try to present as many different ways as possible to go about it, so that you can use observation or intuition or questioning to find out what's going on. Please be flexible. If you get too hard set about it, you have to answer a lot of questions. You have to be comfortable to forget it. In fact, you might even want to use some techniques that we're talking about in horary astrology to apply to use them in middle astrology. Sometimes you may even have to develop new technique, and that's perfectly all right as long as you test it out, as long as it intuitively works out all right. All right, location in space. For example, if we're looking for a lost dog, or a missing item, or someone we know or want to know, we want to know where they are. If the dog is lost, we want to be able to get to it. And that is to say, we know what or who we are looking for, we don't know where they're at, and we're going to look at that right now. The process in horary astrology is very simple, but again, the execution requires flexibility, intuitiveness, and good judgment. Now, experience helps a lot in all of this. The first horary horoscope you do, you're going to be lost. After a while, you get the feel of it. Now, all that will be offered in this talk are a few simple tools and partial examples, suggestions about how to use and to adapt them. Be careful, and again, success of your experiment. Well, it's all right to do some trivial questions. They're not as clear-cut as really important questions, but just to get a feeling of what you're doing with all the other things. Always find ways to check the results. Procedure for locating in space. All right, the first thing you have to do is locate the planetary significator in question. Sometimes there are more than one, and if there are more than one people or objects, you have to check all of them. That's what we did last time. The second thing in the procedure is to find its place in space by using primary attributes for spatial location. Limit ourselves to Harari and event fuels, which sometimes work in middle astrology, but middle has its own roots. The first place is you want to go the direction. The direction of the significator or the person in question is almost always relative to the location of the querent at the time the question asked. So if you're sitting out in front of the grocery store and the question comes to mind, the direction is always relative to that place where the question came to you. Now when you try to locate direction, there are two sorts of direction finding. And there are no rules for either of them, except that you have to get a feel for it. There is distant direction and local direction. And usually both are applied to every horoscope. Let's take an example and use that as a means to get to where we're trying to get. Where is my brother now in his USA trip? So if you're trying to learn where the brother is in his trip in the country, the distant direction is determined by the sign. And the regional or the local direction is determined by the houses. If you say, where is my lost cat, part of town is indicated by the sign, and the part of the neighborhood that you find in the long-term direction is indicated by the houses. This is more craziness, and I know it, but it works, and it's a really fascinating thing. Let's look at distant direction. The general form is, if the person in question is in a fire sign, they are east of where the person was when the question is asked. If the person in question is in an earth sign, they are south from where the question was asked. If the person about whom the question was asked is in an air sign, they are west. And if in a water sign, north. Now, yep. No. Yeah. Now, this is any fire sign. If it's Sagittarius, it's still east. You're not using it like the dial of a compass. There is a more exact form. And sometimes the exact form works and sometimes it doesn't. This is why I say you have to be flexible. And in the exact form, Aries is due east. Leo is east by north. And Sagittarius is east by south. Capricorn is due south, and Taurus is south by east, and Virgo is south by west. And Libra is due west, and Gemini is west by north, and Libra is west by south. Libra is west by north, yeah. Sorry. No. For Leo, I said east by north. Alright, and if it's Cancer, it is due north, and if it is Scorpio, it is north by east, and if it's Pisces, it is north by west. Now, how do you determine which form? What? North by west, I said. Scorpio is north by east, and Pisces is north by west. Well, if you sit down with a compass, and instead of having north, south, east, and west, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, but if you have a 12, I'm breaking it up into 12 parts, and if you sit down and make a 12-point compass and put the the logic of the system will work out. I didn't make a diagram for you, but it just work it out. Yes, but we're not going by that. We're not going by that. This is a totally different thing. That is a whole different kind of thing, and that works a different way. All right, so which form do you choose? Do you choose the general form, or you choose the more exact? And you have to use your intuition, or you have to try both of them. I almost always use the general form because the general form seems to work better. You use the exact form if the question is global in nature. Trying to locate a ship that's at sea, and it can be anywhere on the earth, it's more likely that the 12-point directing system will work. All right. Changes of direction. When there are changes in direction, you have to always use the general form. You can't use the exact form. It doesn't work. Of direction. And changes in direction almost always occur when the moon is the significator or the co-significator. And changes in direction often occur when there has been a time lapse between the time the question was thought of and one gets to the answer. In fact, that's something I never brought into in that. A question only stays right for so long. If you have a question comes to mind, and if you don't work on it after a certain amount of time, it just wears out. So there is a relevance to the time, relevance to the time that it reaches the astrologer. So what we're talking about, when we're talking about changes of direction, since the moon is the co-ruler, this is a fact that animals have a cycle. When I was a young man, I used to go rabbit hunting. And if you went rabbit hunting, the dog would chase the rabbit, and the rabbit would always come to the circle, always come back. The Aquarian astrology says that it changes the direction when the rabbit is going in its circle, or according to the general form of the direction in Aquarian astrology. Something you can check out for yourself. necessary. Yeah. That all of these this information is in one form or another in one of about five or six different contemporary astrology books. I've read about 30 of them. The most information that you can get, but the hardest to read, is from William Lilly. What? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Local direction. So when you find which direction the person or thing in question is located, then you determine by local direction. And all determination in local direction is determined by the houses. So you put down the horoscope, and south is always the 10th house, east is always the ascendant, and west. And so from the houses, you see if it's, if you determine that the lost dog is in an east neighborhood, then from the houses, if you look at the significator, it tells you what part of that neighborhood it is in. West. Again, the big question is intuitively being able to determine how big the neighborhood is or where the center of the neighborhood is. There are questions about that. You just have to use intuition. Like William Lilly knew how many blocks a certain area would take and where it would be in numbers of blocks. Changes of direction in the local sense seem to apply much more rarely, in my experience. They follow the same kind of pattern, but local changes of direction seem to be implied when there is proximity of a planet to the cusp of a house, like it's going to go in, just about to go into a new house. All right, so we don't always know where the center of the neighborhood is, but we have a general idea. You can start asking questions. That brings us to the next thing. The next thing is places, conditions, circumstances, proximities, substances, things, and landmarks and things like that. Places. They can be either large scale or small scale. And they can be determined by quality from the signs, and by opportunity or function from the houses. So you ask questions. Like this, if you're trying to find a place, you break it down. Like William Lilly broke down the parts of the ship. Or if you're buying a house, the rooms in a house correspond to the different houses. And if you're looking at an automobile, you can look at the planets. System is ruled by Uranus, and the brakes is indicated by Saturn. The engine itself and its function is indicated by Mars, and so on. Countries are determined by sign rulerships. And there you have to constantly be updating. The world was much more stable in William Lilly's time, and there still are that have the same assignations for them by sign, but you have to know what country is ruled by what sign. And then you have to, it gets tedious because you have to differentiate between the country and the government. Some countries change governments. Like China has always traditionally, the Chinese people have been indicated by Pisces. But the People's Republic of China is a political organization, and that is something else, and it has a different kind of leadership. In some cases, if you take the longitude and latitude where a planet would be right overhead or right below at the midheaven or at the nadir, that can tell you by longitude and latitude what country the person is in. That worked in a horoscope I read at one time of, I think when Juan Perón came back to Argentina from Spain, where the conditions of the place where the person or object is located. Large-scale conditions are indicated by the signs. Small-scale conditions are indicated by the houses. For example, climate is indicated by signs, and local weather conditions are indicated by houses. Altitude seems to follow elevation, whether something is on the second floor or third floor, or up the mountain, or down in a valley, or something like that. That seems to follow elevation, so that if a planet is down in the fourth house, the person in question may be in a cave or something like that, if that applies to the question at all. All right, circumstances. If something is in the front or the rear of a location, that is determined by the houses. Usually, the first house is always the front. The 12th house is almost always the rear. But you can go and say that the first, fifth, and ninth always have to do with the front, and the fourth, eighth, and 12th having to do with the rear. Now, if there are curious cases, like there is an interception, for example, this indicates, it works out really nice when it works, a room within a room. If there's an interception, it means that there's a room within a room, likely. And that would be a closet. A closet, the definition of a closet is a room within a room. So if you're looking for a lost object, that it's on the second floor, and it is more likely in the bedroom than in the second floor bathroom. If the object is in an intercepted sign, it's like inside of a cabinet or something of that nature. All right. Everybody's really thrilled by all of this. The newness of the situation is determined by the planet in question in relation to another planet that is in the same house. For example, suppose the moon is the significator, and the moon is in the fourth house, and you have already determined that it's in a household. The fourth house would likely be the kitchen. And if Saturn is in the fourth house, the moon would be more or less close to the refrigerator. And you could even, some people, and they do this stuff, but I'm amazed when they do it, that if the moon is 5 degrees away from Saturn, would indicate that the object is 5 paces away from the refrigerator. it's amazing how these things really work. All of these things are usually determined by the planet that's in question and its relation to other planets in the same house. You can see the same thing would work with the fireplace, with Mars and the Sun, and go and so much like that. You can do things like this through aspects, and how close a planet is to an aspect made from the house that it's in, but that's a really abstract and dicey kind of thing. I usually don't even bring that to mind. Substances, when we're talking about things, substances, an object by itself is a planet. But if you're looking at the substance of something by its nature, you look by the sign. The example that William Lilly uses is if your lost dog has been taken into someone else's house and you can locate that house astrologically, the sign that is on the ascendant would be that is on that distributed house that indicates the household where the dog is at, the sign will indicate the color of the front door. Such that if Aries, if Aries is on the cusp of the sign, it's a red door. All right, by function, that can only be by aspect. And once the house and sign have been determined, the function of the planet that rules the house, or the planet that is in the house, if it's, for example, a planet that's in opposition, it serves that function. It is oppositional to being found. Sometimes dogs or cats don't want to be found. They want to stay in a new place. All right, so all of this is variable and all of this is changeable. Again, I find myself in a place that I don't want to give too much information because there's unlimited information and I'm just trying to give you ideas. And the idea is you can work it for yourself. And these are just some simple examples. When it gets to the reality of looking at a horoscope, you can stare and think and stare and think and stare and think for a long time, even with a horoscope, a horoscope that is very radical, because in order to draw this kind of information out, it's not easy. Now I could give a lot more information, but I'm not going to do that. We're trying to learn a method, and then that method is something we can do on our own. All right. Now we have to look at distances. It's going to be a really short class, maybe 45 minutes long. Distance. How far away is it? So if we determine from the horoscope that it's east from here and that it's a long distance east from here, how far? So when we're speaking of distance, we're speaking of figurative distance or relative distance. We're not talking of absolute distance that you can take the intervalometer and measure. Now the best that we can hope for are approximations. And the approximations are as radical as the horoscope is radical. And again, it depends on the skill, and the knowledge, and the experience, and especially the inventiveness of the person doing the astrological work. Now, there are rare cases, as I've mentioned, like with William Lilly, that you can actually count out the number of blocks, something is distance, but that doesn't happen. All right, now everything that we're going to talk about now is relative to a question. Long distances. Usually there are three methods for determining long distance. All are variable and all are questionable and all require good sense. Planets that are above the Earth, especially in the ninth house. If they are significant planets, above the planets you're trying to get at, usually indicate a long distance. While planets that are below the Earth indicate short distance. Another way that works, I use this one a lot, relative distance. You determine how far the moon is away from the sun. The moon, the furthest it can get away from the sun, is to be opposite the sun. And as it's in that area opposite the sun, it's pretty far away. Whereas if the moon is very close to the sun, it means that the distance is not really long. Long distance. In some cases, long distances are determined if the planet you are looking at that you have located as being the significant planet, how far that planet is from its sign of rulership. Meaning to say, like, let's take something, for example. example, let's take Mars. Let's take the primary moon of Mars. And suppose Mars is the person in question. If Mars is in Taurus or Pisces, which are very close to Aries, the long distance is not really long. But if it is in Libra or way on the other side of the zodiac, it is a long distance. And in some cases, distance is determined by the significant planet, how far it is from its own rulership house, the house that it rules. Now, and these things, William Lilly invented things all of the time, and they worked for him. All right, let's look at short distances. Short distances are much more problematic, and they're much less reliable. If you find a significant locus, such as a door to the room, or a dwelling, or a landmark, then the nearness is determined by the distance of the significant planet from the door, from the recognizable object. So, let's go back to something that we had that we talked about earlier. Suppose we have determined that it's in a house, and we've determined what room of the house it is in by function. Suppose it's something like the fifth house. The planet is in the fifth house, that would be the rec room. The cusp of the fifth house would be the door to the rec room. How far the planet is relative to the size of the house determines how far the door of the object is. Now, these things might seem like piddling things, but if you have a house like Jerry does where everything could be lost anywhere in the house, you want to find where in a room it is located. Sometimes short distances are determined by the number of degrees from the significant event, usually a relevant aspect. Measurement for long distances, to count the degrees of measurement, you use the long distances that we used from up above here. Let me try to get this clear in my mind. I didn't make clear notes here. Suppose we're using for the long distance the distance of the moon from the sun. You assign an appropriate scale. For example, an ant farm, inches would be all right. If you have the question like where I used my brother in his trip across the country, if you find that the moon is 30 degrees from the sun, you wouldn't even use miles. Would probably use hundreds of miles, and or tens of miles, or something like that. Everything has sliding scales, and that's how you get to the distance that you want to measure. If it's a place that you're looking for, or a landmark, or something like that, and you can identify the place, that's much better than trying to use measurements. Try to use measurements and you almost always get into trouble. All right, is all of that clear? Sort of. I thought this was much clearer than what we went through last time. Now we go to this, the other part for tonight, and that is location in time. And this is the simplest of all, but it's hardest to work with. You want to know when something is going to happen and or has happened. And there are two methods for determining that. One is direct methods and one is indirect or symbolic methods. And both methods work forward and backward in time. In fact, you just have to use sensitivity to know which to apply when. And it's all right to mix methods if when you're working with time, either direct and indirect. The value of working with time is that since it applies both forward and back, you can look backward in time to determine whether the horoscope is accurate or whether your understanding of the horoscope is accurate. One thing that I always do when I'm given a horary horoscope, and that is I look at the last aspect that the moon made and the next aspect that the moon will make. And when you look at that, you look back to the last aspect before the question that the moon made, that tells you something about the question. Very often it tells you what prompted the person to ask the question. Like for example, if the moon is passing away from a conjunction to Saturn, there was probably a disaster of some kind or another or something like that. And then suppose the next aspect that the moon is going to make is going to be something like a square to Uranus, means that it's going to go from bad to worse or something of that nature. In event astrology, as opposed to horary astrology, a lot of the things in event that you apply to horary astrology will actually work in event astrology as far as distance and places and things like that. But for time, you have to almost always use direct time when you're working with event astrology. All right, be flexible again and try as many things as you can. Almost all indirect or symbolic determination is done by what are called degrees of celerity. And degrees of celerity is a method that has been used in a very specialized kind of horary astrology called the horary astrology of decumbiture. Decumbiture means going to bed. And the moment that a person is sick in such a way that they decide to go to bed is called the moment of decumbiture. And these rules were finding times when there would be crises in an illness or whatever. If you think that the distribution of horary is wild, of decumbiture astrology, it's even harder to deal with. All right, to locate time using degrees of celerity. First, you locate the significant planet. Usually, that is the querent and the quesitive. The person asking the question and the person about whom the question is asked. Then you determine if there is a significant astronomical, astrological event between the two of them, like an aspect between the two. Again, in a horary astrology, you only use applying aspects. And the orb is as long as you want it to be, provided it doesn't go across the sign or a house cusp. If there are more than one aspect planets between, let's suppose the moon is the planet in question and it's about to form several aspects, you always take the first one that it's going to culminate. And you locate the applying planet. The moon is always the applying planet because it always goes faster. And you count the number of degrees before culmination, or before, if the astronomical event is that it enters a new sign, the number of degrees before it enters the sign. You make this table. This is a table that is one that you want to rivet in your mind. All time determination is to use it. All right. let's take a really easy case. Suppose the planet in question that is applying is Mercury. And suppose it is 10 degrees away from a trine to Saturn. And Mercury is the planet that is the applier, and either one of them could be the querent or questor. Days, weeks, months. This is the table of degrees of celerity. So if Mercury is 8 degrees away from a trine to Saturn, if Mercury is in a succedent house, say like the second house, and it is in a common sign, it would be 8 months before the culmination. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas if Mercury was in a cardinal sign, and a cardinal sign and a succeedent house, it would be weeks, 8 weeks. These are called degrees of celerity. Now comes the hard part. This is all shiftable. Meaning to say, you determine in your consciousness what you think is an appropriate scale. For some things, this would be minutes, and this would be hours, and this would be days. And you have to sense in your consciousness what is an appropriate scale. I've never used seconds, but I have used minutes. All right, so you see what, it's a fairly simple thing. All right, that leaves only one small topic left, and that is by direct determination. This is what you usually use in event astrology. I don't even know if degrees of celerity work in event astrology. I've never tried it. What you do is you locate the principles in the crisis horoscope. And then you determine when an ephemeral event happens between them that will indicate significant relevant events. So that if you see that one person is indicated by Saturn and one person is indicated by Jupiter, if you look in the ephemeris and you see the next time, you know, if Jupiter is coming to an aspect with Saturn, the time when Jupiter actually culminates that aspect with Saturn is when the two people in question will be able to get together and work things out. This method works very well when you're working with slow planets. It'll work faster moving planets, but it's not very strong. There's another thing, just put this in your memory, in direct determination, translation of light will work. And I'll just mention what translation of light is right now, and another time we're going to go more into detail with it. Suppose that the person asking the question is indicated by Uranus. and Uranus is sextile to Saturn. And suppose Uranus is at 8 degrees and Saturn is at something like 17 degrees. Let's say a little bit less than that. Because the faster moving of these two planets is separating from the aspect, it looks like the two of them are never going to get together. But if a faster moving planet comes along, like the moon is considered a translator. And when the moon passes over Uranus and then comes down its way and comes over to Saturn, it translates the light such that even though the two of them are separating, they complete the sextile anyway. So this is called a translation of light. It's a classical. That is to say that at the time, when we're talking about direct methods of time, at the time when the moon gets to Saturn, that is the time suppose it was a business deal that came up and it just never materialized and seems to be fading. And if you wanted to culminate that business deal, or if you wanted to reawaken it and have success with it, would take when the moon gets to Saturn and translates the light between the two planets. Other means for direct determinations of time. Any time that there is an ephemeral transit of a significant horary position that indicates an opportunity. That's if it's fast-moving planets, it's sometimes a little shady. Ephemeral transits to natal horoscopes. So suppose you look at a horary horoscope and it says your dealings are not going to go in this particular thing, are not going well, but they're not lost. And then if you look in the natal horoscope and you see that one of these planets, for example, is coming up to a transit of a planet in the natal horoscope, that indicates that something within the person can bring this about. It means a lot more astrology if you have to bring in the natal horoscope of all of the parties involved, but it does work. Sometimes astrological planetary epochs work, like the changing of a planetary hour or the changing of a planetary day, or the planetary year or something like that will indicate a change in the tone. If there has been a background, suppose there is an argument between two people and they're flustered, and this occurs on a Wednesday. Well, when it gets to be Thursday and it changes the planetary epoch, the background is better. And in some cases, that's enough to break through the argument circumstance. Not very many people use planetary epochs. William Lilly does on rare occasions. But shooting from the hip astrology without doing a lot of calculating, that happens quite a bit. Max Engel used to like to use planetary hours and days in that regard. Anything that you can think of that is astrological or astronomical will work for things like this. Just try things out. Now, sometimes there are race conditions. A race condition is you have to look out for it. Well, let me try this while we have this example up here. Suppose Saturn is on the cusp of a house. say of the eighth house. And you're saying, wow, this deal can be brought off as soon as the moon has translated light between Uranus and Saturn. But suppose Saturn gets into the eighth house before the moon gets to Saturn. It's a very close call. And a lot of times with astronomical phenomena, there's a race for which is going to happen first. And when you start looking at planets that are involved in horary horoscopes, and there's something that you would like to bring off or something that you would like to avoid at all costs, there are times that the race condition works in your favor, and sometimes there are conditions that it doesn't work in your favor. So what I'm saying is when you're looking at something like a translation of light, don't only look at one thing. Make sure that you're watching what's involved with all of the planets, because, you know, a race condition is like a deadline. You have to get it by such and such a time, and if you don't get it by such and such a time, it's going to collapse on you. All right. Or so, like, you can hurry, but it won't open up until such a time. All right. Said about as much as I want to say. Are there any questions on all of this?
Yes. You were talking about, for example, finding a dog. Mm-hmm. And I didn't exactly get how you were determining the direction. Is that direction by the quarant?
All right, let's do something with, and I hope to do this all with horoscopes eventually, but I'm trying to get the rules first. All right. The person asking the question, let's suppose Sagittarius is rising.
So that is a...
Suppose the dog is a pet and not a small animal.
At that point, though, it is imperative, first of all, then, that you know the rising sign or the sign. Okay.
Suppose somebody comes walking into your house and says, my dog is lost, where is he? You do a horoscope for that time. The person asked that question is indicated by Sagittarius. If the dog is a pet and nothing other than a pet and not just a small animal, dog is indicated by the fifth house. And the ruler of the fifth house is Mars. And suppose Mars is in the ninth house. Mars is in the ninth house. He's probably a long way off, not maybe across the country, but longer than you would, a longer distance than you would expect. But suppose it is in, this would be Leo. That would mean that, from where the question was asked, that would mean that the dog is a pretty long way off to the east of the person asking the question.
What I'm trying to get at is, how do you know that the person asking the question is Sagittarius?
Because the moment the question is asked, you take that as the moment of the question, you pass the horoscope for it.
Right. Okay, so it's the rising sign of the moment.
That's right.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions on all of this? I hope to put together a bunch of horoscopes to give examples of these things. It all depends on how much time I have, how much we'll have for that. All right. More questions? I think something is happening that I don't want to happen. What I think is happening is that everybody's interest in horary astrology is being piqued, but not so much that they're willing to try to do it themselves, but enough so that they're going to want to ask me horary questions. And the reason that I did this course is so that I wouldn't have to be asked horary questions anymore, because there would be other people around to do them. Yeah. And that there is that statement that comes back to
my consciousness again and again and again, and the wise shall be captured in their folly.
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel like, is this over?
I have another question.
Yes.
Now, when you're saying that Sagittarius rising, I understand that portion now. Mm-hmm. But is that what you were referring to in the beginning when you were talking about fire, water, air?
No, I'm talking about when you get the planet in question. And the planet, this is the person asking the question. And he wants to know about his pet. And his pet is the fifth house. And the ruler of the fifth house of Aries is Mars. And Mars is the planet in question. And Mars is in an eastern sign and is way above the Earth, especially in the ninth house. That means it's a long way off and it's east.
Okay.
And when you get to the neighborhood where it's likely to be at, because you do that according to the house, according to the houses, this is south, this is west, this is in the neighborhood. This is, the dog is south-southwest from the center of that neighborhood, according to the local. All right.
Okay.
So the dog is acquisitive here.
That's right.
And the dog is represented in the fourth house because
what? In the fifth house.
The fifth house because what?
Fifth house of pet.
And what planet?
Aries rules the cusp, and Mars is the ruler of Aries, and so you follow it. Now, if it wasn't a pet, if you were raised chickens, it would then become the sixth house.
Sixth house rules small animals?
Small animals.
And then you would...
You find where Venus was. And you would choose Venus over a planet in the house. But it's supposed that there was Saturn in the house and Venus right next to it. Oh, the wolf just got the chicken.
What if it was a cow?
What?
What if it was a cow? Neither a pet nor a small
large
animal.
A large animal, 12 pounds.
Oh, 12 pounds large animal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The cow is across the street. It's next to the pleasant
food. It's not quite that simple, but you're being inventive. I like that. That's what you have to do. You have to try all kinds of different things to see what works.
Now, if Pluto was conjunct Venus, you might not find it. Is that correct?
Yeah. If Neptune things are harder to find even than Venus, than Pluto things.
Okay.
That goes right back to naval astrology. People who have Neptune conjoined the ascendant, they'll have heart conditions or something. You know, I had a friend that had Neptune and Leo conjoined the ascendant, and it was in the 12th house, and the doctors looked, and knew that she had a heart condition. Not what it was. And so it's, I have Neptune and Virgo in the 12th house conjoined the ascendant. And I had pneumonia and they wanted to cut my appendix out. which would have killed me because my resistance was very, very low. All right. That's enough for tonight, I think. Next time we will look at accomplishment of events, I believe.
I think this material would be publishable.